The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John was standing with two of his disciples. As he watched Jesus walk by, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what he had said, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him, and he said to them, "What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is translated teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." So they went and saw where Jesus was staying and stayed with him all of that day. It was about 4 PM. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard John and followed him. He found his brother Simon, and he told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. And then he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. I am going to speak from the pulpit today because I have a text to read from Dag Hammarskjöld. That first reading from Samuel, we should give it some attention, but I don't have time right now. He is the last one before you have the introduction of the kings of the people of Israel. He is the one who anoints Saul as the first king of the people of Israel. And we have his call today. He hears a voice and he doesn't understand it. And in the gospel reading, we have this from the beginning of John's gospel and chapter 1. And what's interesting, the first words in the Gospel of John that Jesus utters are a question. "What are you looking for?" And as if they were Irish, they answer with a question. They say, "Where do you live? Where are you staying?" And Jesus says, "Come and see." The first call of disciples in the Gospel of John, the very beginning of John's Gospel. And they come and they have an experience with Jesus Christ, and then Andrew goes to Peter, his brother, and says, "Peter, we have found the Messiah." Now, they found the Messiah, but they did not understand the Messiah. They understood that they were called, but they will yet have to understand what that call means. So let me speak about the fact when Jesus calls disciples, it's a life journey. And I'd like to pause over that for a few moments. This past week, I had a birthday. It's usually kind of quiet, but Father Ricky, in his kind compliments to me, mentioned in the bulletin, so it's okay, it's public knowledge. I had a birthday. I don't feel any older, but I am older by a few days. As has been my custom for a long time, on my birthday, I go on retreat. I go away by myself. No dinners, nothing. I spend the day by myself and reflecting on my life. I write a journal, not a journal of my whole life, but a journey of the salient points in my life, the liminal decisions I made in my life. When you write a journal like this, for some passages in your life, it has to be written slowly. You have to be alone, and you have to be quiet. Otherwise, you will not hear the story of your journey. And in some ways, the only way to discover the story of your journey is in the poverty of uncertainty. You're led by questions in your life. Somewhere in my life, back there, I made a life decision. We all make a life decision somewhere. And that life decision is meant to guide us and direct us in the mission of discipleship to live out the call of the Spirit. Well, I made that life decision somewhere back in the past. Then about 21 years ago, writing into my journal, I write the liminal moments in my journal, things that really impacted me in my life. And 21 years ago, I went through a passage of almost a year of great darkness. I was uncertain. I was confused. I was discouraged in my life. And I went through this long period of real darkness in my life. And I was reading voraciously to try to understand what this means in the spiritual journey. I was reading as everything I could find, and I had a great admiration for Dag Hammarskjöld. Now, some of you may remember him. He was Secretary General of the United Nations, an extraordinary fellow, a man of deep and profound spirituality, a Christian, believer in Jesus Christ. In 1961, he was killed rather mysteriously in a plane accident in the Congo, and many, many questions about how this happened. But subsequent to his dying, his journals were published. They were published in a book entitled Markings. It was out of print, but I wanted to find it. So I went to my discovery person, Anne, in the bookstore, and I said, Anne, I want to find a copy of this book, Markings, by Dag Hammarskjöld. I want to read his spiritual reflections. It was his journals that appeared in this book. And since it was out of print, she had to discover and find an old issue of the book, which she did. And that book really inspired me in many ways. And in his book, he writes this, which had meaning to me at the time. Since I believed that maybe the most difficult and discouraging times in your life may indeed be the times of greatest teaching. Your failures, they are the times of great teaching. They're not times of reversal, they're times of invitation. And here's what Dag Hammarskjöld wrote in his journals in his time of great darkness. He said, I don't know who or what put the question. I don't know when it was put. I don't even remember answering. But at some moment, I did answer yes to someone. And from that hour on, I was certain that existence was meaningful and that therefore my life in self-surrender had a goal. From that moment on, I have known what it means to take no thought for tomorrow. And as I continued along the way, I learned step by step, word by word, that behind every saying in the gospel stands one man and one man's experience. And also behind the prayer that the cup might pass from him and his promise to drink it, behind each and every word, even from the cross, there was one man, and that was Jesus Christ. And this became part of his discovery of who he was and what his vocation was like and what his destiny would be. And I decided in some manner this was connected to my destiny. And my destiny was not of my own choosing. It was somehow shaped by a mysterious divine providence, which I could only discover in questions. I could only discover in the poverty of uncertainty, where reversal happens and burdens come heavy and you're not sure where to go. By that time, 21 years ago, when I went through this passage, all my three wisdom persons in my life were deceased. So I was adrift, I was alone and quite unsure where to go to find a deeper understanding of what this means. Is there a teaching? Is there a gift? What does it mean when I hear the words of Jesus, come and see? Come and understand what it means to be a disciple. And I was led to this in the poverty of uncertainty. I was led by questions, not by answers. And the life decision was to enter into the unknown. We've all, at some time, made a life decision. And when you make a life decision, your decision is to enter into a space you have not seen before, to embrace an experience you have not known, to enter into a future you cannot control. That's what it means to make a life decision. And at some point, probably every one of us has made a life decision, something seminal and something enduring. But it will only become clear to me when I failed miserably, when things went wrong, when I was in darkness. Read the life of Christ and you'll find that his first followers did not understand Gethsemane. They did not understand the loneliness of Jesus, the abandonment, the scent of betrayal. They didn't understand following Jesus. It was not the Jesus they understood. His first followers had no idea about the cross, no idea about Jesus dying on a cross. They had no idea. They were following Jesus with an ideal of prosperity and success and a deeper understanding of life, but that did not include the cross. And this will come clear only when I failed miserably. And in darkness, I began to see light. The only way you can ask, where do you live, is you're searching. You're in darkness. If you had all the answers, you wouldn't ask the question. It becomes clear when we hit a period of disillusionment or failure or darkness. And the call of the first disciples will only find a maturity when they experience disillusionment, reversal, failure. Peter will deny Christ. They will walk away from Christ. They will abandon the Christ who suffers. They will abandon the Christ to see as a failure. And it will be much later that they will come to understand that the journey of life, the vocation of life, the revelation of life must include failure and the cross and disillusionment. There is no other way to live a disciple's life. And I will go through this for a long time to come to a place where, like Dag Hammarskjöld says, in all his experiences of darkness, Jesus Christ was there. He said, behind every word in the Bible, behind every sacrifice made, Christ is there. That was my teaching. Christ is here in darkness, in uncertainty, in struggling, but the power of Jesus Christ is there. It's not in the moments of glory only, it's in the moment of failure and struggle, disillusionment, pain, reversal in life. The mysteries of life that are given to us as part of the journey, Christ is there. Now, in writing these journals, I was led to look at the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And here we have an extraordinary moment in the life of Christ in chapter 8 in Mark's Gospel. It's worth reading. It's the only miracle that happens gradually. When Jesus heals the leper, it happens immediately. Give sight to the blind right away. When he raises up Lazarus, Lazarus is raised up now, not later, not a week later, right now. Miracles are instant, but in this case, it's the only case where the miracle is delayed. And in the 8th chapter of Mark's gospel, you'll find it happens at Bethsaida, which is a fishing village on the Sea of Galilee, where Peter, Andrew, James, John come from there. And they bring to Jesus a man who is blind. And Jesus anoints his eyes. And he says, "Can you see?" And the man says, "I can see people, but they look like trees walking." And Jesus anoints his eyes again. And he says, "Now I can see." Now, in Mark's gospel, that's a parable about life. It's a parable about faith. In our journey of life, my journey and your journey, we may indeed to write slowly, to live in quiet, and in order to see, we may need a second anointing by Jesus Christ. That's what it means. If you hear the voice of God, spoken in Jesus Christ, saying, "Come and see," this is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.